Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
That you're here by a word, and that word still sustaining all of us. Amen. Those prophetic words that God spoke over our lives, even before we even knew who He was, even before we acknowledged Him as our Lord and Savior, He spoke a word before the foundations of the world. Amen. Your name and my name was written, amen, into that blueprint, and we are here, amen, today to serve Him, amen, and to be the mighty army that He has called us for. Family, I want you to know there is a word from the Lord on this morning. I briefly want to just hit on our service times, amen, and then I just want to no longer belabor the time, but allow our senior leader this morning, Chief Apostle, Christopher McQueen, to go forth in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, family, wanting you to know, please join us every Tuesday night for our Bible study night known as Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Amen. On Thursday from 1 hour, 7 to 8 is prayer. We are here praying. We are here seeking after His face. We are here putting our petitions before Him, knowing that our God will answer prayer. Amen. We are living testimonies and have many testimonies of the prayers that God has answered for us and for His people. So that's every Thursday night from 7 to 8, 1 hour of power in prayer. On Friday, family, same time, 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles, JAM, Jesus and Me Ministries. Amen. That's our praise and worship experience. And then we come back again Sunday morning for our live worship service at 9 a.m. Amen. If you are in the Brevard County area, if you are in the Brevard County area, please join us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Once again, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. For those of you who are not in the area, you can still be a part of our service. Go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. I'll say that again, www.ctkrm.org. Amen. And you can watch us there. We're also asking, if you know that the word that has been going forth in this house has been touching your life, you see the growth, you see the change that the Holy Spirit is doing in you, for those around you, amen, and it has been a blessing that you have connected with this ministry, we ask that you would sow, amen, into the word and into the anointing of this ministry, amen, allowing us to continue what we do best, and that is preach his gospel, amen, to all generations, amen. We thank you and we praise you. If you don't connect there, go to my Facebook page, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. You can go to my husband's Facebook page, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Or you can also catch us on Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Either way, the word comes to you live. Amen. So we bless and we honor God for all that has been said and done thus far. And now, amen, let us prepare our hearts, family, for the word of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. If we could, glory to the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Before I move forward, it was just reminded to me. Amen, family. We altar call. Come on, connect your hands together real quick. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Connect your hands real quick with your brother and your sister as we pray as a corporate body this morning. And following that will be the word of the Lord, the next worship we hear. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God. I thank you for every individual that is here under the sound of my voice that is watching, along with those that are connected here. We touch and agree. Father, we agree that you are our Lord and our Savior. We agree that we humbly come before you and recognize that you are God. And beside you, there is no other. We come together united as one. Father, we just lift up my brother and my sister that's on my left and on my right. Father, we're standing in the gap for one another. You know each and every individual's need. You know what keeps us up at night. You know what is allowing us to walk the floors at night. You know, Father, what the enemy has been trying to do. You know the faith that we've been trying to reach. You know how long we've been holding on. You know where each individual is in their walk with you. This morning, Father, I'm asking for supernatural strength. I'm asking that you appoint your strength out on wherever the individuals may be this morning, that you will begin to strengthen their feet, strengthen their legs, strengthen their loins, strengthen their faith, strengthen their arms, strengthen their hands. Oh God, strengthen their minds this morning. Supernatural strength. We bind of the works of the enemy. We bind all weariness of the mind, weariness of the spirit, weariness of the body even, oh God. As your people begin to call upon the name of the Lord, you said that we shall be delivered. We call on the deliverer today. Some of us need peace, Father. We need peace, just a moment of rest. We're asking in the name of Jesus that you would bring rest, that you would begin to set it. Settle some things, God. Some things have been going on year after year. The enemy has kept people in cycles. We break cycles of repetitiveness in the name of Jesus. Cycles of the past that keep us going around mountain after mountain. We break cycles, Father, that every time anniversary dates come around, we find ourselves falling back into depression and oppression. We break the cycle in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. We break the spirit of depression off of your people, off of their minds. Let the wind of freedom come, the wind of freedom and deliverance come in the name of the Almighty Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give your name all the glory. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, allow your people to become unstuck, that they can begin to move forward in this season. The promises of the Lord are yea and amen. What you have spoken must and shall come to pass. God, we ask that you will break every chain, every feather that is holding your people down. We ask that you would unstuck the cords, unroot the cords in the name of Jesus. Break the spirit of pride and Leviathan, oh God, off of your people. Break that spirit of the snake off of them, the octopus, in the name of Jesus. We bind every mind-binding spirit and every mind-blinding spirit that will not allow your people to see that they are greater in you, that you are greater in them than he that is in the world. We also ask, Father, that our faith will not fail us not as as we come to the end of this 2019, that we will push forward in 2020 with your power, with your strength, with clarity, with fearlessness, in wholeness, in the powerful mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give your name praise. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. We give your name glory. We give your name the honor that is due unto you. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. We honor you. Now, God, seal every door shut that has been opened to the hand of the enemy, known and unknown. Pour the blood of Jesus in every area that has been emptied out in Jesus' name. Seal it shut, oh God, that we can go forth. New mind, sanctified vision, sanctified mental status, the peace of God, the rest of God rule upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I thank God, hallelujah, for what he is going and is doing. Let me speak that right now. I thank God for what he is doing in your life. Glory to God. The moment that we ask him in the name of his son, God begins to perform those things. Amen. Hallelujah. What you speak out of your mouth by his word. Amen. Death and life, we all say, is in the power of the tongue. You are a spirit. God has given you authority in the spirit realm. When you begin to speak, the worlds, the atmospheres begin to move to what you have spoken, good or bad. Amen. So be mindful, glory to God, of what it is that you speak. Amen and amen. Family, as I said before, it is time for the word of the Lord. Amen. Our senior leader, chief apostle, amen, Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and the prelate of our organization, Kingdom Convergence, amen. He is going ready to come forth to deliver this right now word of the Lord. So I need you to grab your iPad, your phones, your pens, your papers, amen, whatever it is that you take notes with. Amen. And be attuned to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking on today. Amen. Amen. Please, family, let us receive and give God a mighty hand clap of praise for our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Can we bless God for his life? Amen. And amen again.
Come on, give God a praise. Glory and honor, majesty is due his name. Amen. We are excited about all that God has done and all that God is doing and what he has spoken into our life. We're looking forward to this moment and to this word. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, even now, Lord, as we go forward, we ask that you would touch our eyes, that we can see what you're showing us, our ears that we can attune to your voice, our minds that we can comprehend what it is that you are saying to us and what you're showing us. We don't miss you in this season of our life. Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that you would simply give us the tongue of the learner and allow us to speak for your truth and your revelation in the mighty name of Jesus. And we do this, Lord, because we have been given an assignment by you. And because of that, we go forward and we say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to your assignment for our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, in advance, we praise you for every miracle, every sign, every wonder that occurs, because we submit to you and your leading. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen. And amen. Glory to God. We are excited about what God is doing. Amen. We did a little remodeling here in the sanctuary And because of that, there are things that are sort of out of order, if you will. But it'll be okay. Amen. It won't hinder the gospel. Amen. But it'll help me to do what I need to do here so that God is glorified in our midst. Amen. We just want to give a shout out to Evangelist Ademiyi, amen, in Nigeria, what the enemy tried to use as a way to stop the plan of God is just a setup for a come up, amen. And what I mean by that is that when we set ourselves to do what God has called us to do, the enemy can get in and try to do some stuff to hinder and to cause some problems and concerns, amen. But after he got done doing what he did, it's our turn, amen. And one thing that I was showing Prophetess, there was a contest that was going on, and what they were doing was they were coming back and slapping each other to see who could slap who the hardest. And the one guy, he thought that he had it. So he reared all the way back and came across the man's face, and we saw sweat and everything else fall off of him or fly off of him. And everyone was like, "Ooh, well, that's okay," because the man who he hit now gets an opportunity to slap him back, amen. And when he slapped him, he measured from all the way back over here, back around. And when he came, he hit him in such a way that the table that the man was holding on was picked up and everything else. And what I'm saying to you is that even though we look at that and we talk about it being a spectacle, you have to understand that the enemy can do what he's going to try. Amen. And after all is said and done, God gets the last get back. Amen. I don't know if you looked at the back of this, amen, this Bible, but it lets us know that we win. Amen. And that means after all that Satan has tried and the enemy has tried, there comes a day of reckoning where God gets in there and he gets the last and final say. Amen. So I'm grateful that God has given us the victory. When we say hallelujah, you have won the victory. That means that no matter how hard I get hit right now, at the end of it all, he's already guaranteed my victory. Amen. And I'm so grateful for it. So we're celebrating what God has done and what God is doing. Sometimes a no is just a not yet, and not necessarily a not ever. Amen. We are planned to be in Nigeria this morning. And even when I went back over to Orlando, and Atlanta, and those of you who have to deal with immigrations or the system that is set up to get your Nigerian visa, the Atlanta office, amen, I flew back into Orlando. The Atlanta office is very unprofessional, and even to the point where there were things that were being asked of us to produce that was not on the checklist. What started out as a 9 a.m. meeting to make sure that everything was together turned out to be a 5 p.m. after leaving from Atlanta the first time. Then to check to see where the process was, found out that they had not even filed the paperwork and had no intentions to. So I fly back in to get my passport and paperwork and refund, and the thing that they tell me is that we're not giving you a refund, and all we'll give you back is your picture and your passport. So everything else, the labels and other things that I had to pay for, including the visa, we paid $180 the first time, And then when I got there, she said, well, this is the wrong kind. You're going to have to pay for another one. So I paid for the second one. We're still waiting on a refund from the first. When we hear that, we're not getting a refund from the second one, which they did nothing with other than sit on the desk. And I sat back and I began to get upset about it. Thank God for Apostle Andre Williams, amen, AAW, those of us who know him. See if I could pull this up right quick. He said something that I had to post on my social media. I just had to take it. And one of the things that I was asking God about was the fact that there are some things that have been going on that I don't feel are right. I rented a car, and the car that I rented, I filled it up, and when I got back, they still charged me for fill up, $25, and you couldn't put no more gas in it. It was coming out the tank. So I stopped, and after I got on a plane and was headed back, I looked back because I just looked at the zero balance because I knew I didn't owe them anything. But I looked at that, and I began to look at the receipt. I saw that they charged me for a refueling fee. I said, well, this isn't right. And I said, Lord, how come things like this are happening right now? And one thing that I understand is that the enemy's job is to frustrate the saints. Amen. And when he tries to frustrate you, he'll try to touch you in areas to get you to respond. And if all you have to do is go back and listen to some of our previous broadcasts, and you'll hear me say this often, there are things that the enemy has tried to do to get you to provoke you into an opinion and into something that you will say out of your mouth. He sets things up that have no life. They are creations out of his hands, amen, by his hands, amen. And if you begin to speak what you are seeing concerning what you are observing, then he can take those words, amen, and use the breath of life that was breathed into you through your nostril. He'll use that same breath, those are your words, to bring to life things that should never have existed in the first place. So I learned then that I can see a whole lot of stuff, but everything that I see, I don't have to make a comment about, amen? I don't have to have an opinion about. And every once in a while I'm sitting there pondering and saying, Lord, what shall we do about this? Sometimes I let things go and I say, I just leave that over there. We leave it as a lesson learned, and then we'll just check on this later. But then Lord sends a word, and I'm just going to read this, Andre Allen Williams, amen? Those of you who know Judah over in Orlando, he's working with Bishop Clint Brown over there. And this is what he wrote. Money is coming back. Divine renewal is here for your personal economy. God will restore lost money, wasted money, stolen money, and withheld money. As clear as you read this, others are holding money that belongs to you and your purpose. Their thievery will not be your end, but God will grant you restorative justice. And I'll leave it right there. You can go and read the rest of his post. But the thing is that God allowed me to see this morning. While I was praying and asking God, which way should we go and what do we need to do? We're preparing for Liberia, amen, the last week of January. Prophetess Dr. Crystal and myself will be going to Liberia to minister. I'll be with her as an escort and also to set up Christian leadership training with Apostle Tar there. But she'll be going as a board member of Women for Jesus or African Women for Jesus, and they represent about 15 countries or so. And we were looking through and trying to make sure that everything was together. And I know that we'll be going. And I said, well, look, last time we went to Liberia, we were pulling out the driveway when they pulled up with our passports with the visa in it. So we're going to do everything earlier than that now. I said, so this situation here just reminds us of why we need to be expedient, amen, the concerning getting the visa and the other things together so that there are no hindrances, there are no delays. We frustrate right now in the spirit, amen, the strategies of the enemy. And as I began to say that and we were thinking about it, the Lord allows me to read this. And this is an encouragement to you, that you have not lost anything. Amen. I'm going to say that again. You have not lost anything. The enemy has tried to get you to be frustrated so he can take your frustrated words and create for you a frustrated future. But we bind and we frustrate the strategies of the enemy now in the name of Jesus, so that even now while we're going forward preparing, we are more enlightened and we are ready to do what God has called us to do, because we realize that if the enemy's fighting this hard, then there's some work that requires the level of anointing that God has placed on our lives in the place that he's sending us. And don't fool yourself. God sends you to places where he's prepared you to be. Mm-hmm. That means that when you get to the end of the matter, God has already prepared for you what should happen, how it should happen, and why it should happen. Amen. And he doesn't send you on assignment without resource. So the resources that are supposed to come to you are coming to you. Amen. Understand that God has set it up in such a way that the resource that you need will be released at the time that you need it. And I tell you that when it was time for us to prepare for Nigeria, that I didn't have to look for money for the trip. Amen. I invited people to sow into it so that they could reap the benefit and the harvest from sowing into fertile soil. But we did not need people to sow into us so that we could take the trip. Oh, y'all missed what I said. So God had already given us the resource for it. And even at that, while I was looking at the tickets and things and thinking what I should do, the Lord said, you know, because most time I just look past all the extra insurance and stuff like that. I'm not doing all of that. You know, I'll be okay. You know, but this time the Holy Spirit told me, he said, make sure you put the insurance on there. So I clicked the insurance and paid the fee, you know, and everything, and went on about my business. And after we did so, now I understand why the Holy Spirit, this is why I said you need to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Amen. He said, put it on there. And as I went back and began to deal with everything, I filed the claim so I could see back all the costs of the ticket for the trip. Amen. So that money that I now receive back is money that will be going towards Liberia. Because God knows how to preserve the saints. He also knows how to restore, amen? But the word here that Apostle Allen Williams spoke, he said restorative justice, amen? That means that whatever was taken now has to be given back, amen? With usury, and he put the scriptures in there. But what I'm going to tell you is that don't you frustrate yourself with trying to get back at people when God knows how to restore it to you better than how they took it. Okay, so you have to understand that when God begins to deal with the matter, he begins to deal with the circumstance, he'll give you back better than what they took. Yes, we've already experienced this in our life. When we moved down here to Florida, one of the things that happened was that people where our storage was, they broke into the storage, and some people just let them into the storage and say, take whatever you want, amen, and people took stuff. When I went back to Ohio to get our stuff out of the storage, people was like, yeah, I'll let you in. Hey, leave my TV over there, though. I'm like, that's your TV? No, that's my TV. And went in my stuff and said, here's the remote to it. But since you want the TV so bad, there's the remote too. Amen. And when we got back here, I said, I don't believe they did that. And the Holy Spirit said, since you have not been working, what have you lacked? I said, nothing. He said, the TV they took was a box TV. Amen. Right, they took that. He said, I've given you flat screens. You didn't hear what I said. He said, you didn't just lose something. What I did was I restored to you greater and better than what they took. Amen. And you have to understand why you sitting there trying to fight people and have aught against your neighbor. Sometimes you need to let stuff go. The storm doesn't just come. I feel like preaching right now. The storm doesn't just come to damage stuff. Sometimes the storm comes to clear out things so that God can restore to you better than what the storm blew away. You have to allow God to do what he's so that you can get what God has for you. And in this matter, since he's already proven it in our past, people say, how did you just pick up and go to Florida? Same way I picked up and went back home to Ohio from the D.C. area. Amen. I was living in Maryland. Amen. And one day the Lord said, okay, it's time to go back to Ohio. Go back home. I was like, Lord, I'm traveling. And Steve Lawrence in the area before he went out with T.D. Jakes and all the rest of that, I was doing some wonderful stuff, at Refreshing Springs. Myrna Summer was the minister of music. I was playing for Donaldville's and University of Maryland Gospel Choir. We were traveling and touring and recording, and I'm going up and down the East Coast. I'm living a life. And then God tells me to go back to Ohio. Back to Ohio where I'm Little Chris. Y'all have to understand what I'm saying. There are people who remember you from your youth and will always be, you'll always be that little one that they looked at. Amen. My stature was in height. Amen. I was one of the best musicians in the area. But one of the things is that I was next to the youngest in a family of four boys and four girls. And my sisters and brothers all were doing things. And my claim to fame was that I could make an organ talk. Amen. I could do the keyboard thing. So when he said, go back, I'm in ministry now. When I left, I was just a musician trying to find my way and figure out what I wanted to do, running from a call. When I came back, I had stopped running. God had captured me. Amen. I had surrendered to him. And now I come back, and all people could see is the musician. And I had to tell them, I'm not the musician anymore. Amen. I'll play, but it's not because I have to. I got to preach. Because that's what I have to do. Amen. I won't give that testimony now. I'll just tell you that God sent me back. And because I heard him, I said, Lord, if this is you and you want me to go back, then I need finance to go back. Being a single father, I had custody of my son from a week old, and I had him carrying him and his diaper bag and everything and trying to make ends meet and do what I need to do with him while trying to figure out how I'm going to get back to Ohio. And the Lord said, I said to him, if you want me to go back, I need a way. All this time, I have been taking the change out of my pocket and putting it in a big jar. A jar is about as big as one of these vases here, but bigger. So all that time, I have been putting change in there. Hadn't thought about it. Every time I break a dollar or something, I come in, I take my coin change and put it in there. And the Holy Spirit said, count what's in there. I counted that money. There's about $700 in there. And I'm like, well, okay, well, this will get me back. You know, I think this can get me back with what I need to do. And about that time, I had been in an accident. And the day that I was going to leave to come back, the lawyer called me. It's Enoch Perry, amen. He's, I do believe, a superintendent or a bishop now. He was one of the elders at Refreshing Springs Church of God in Christ in Riverdale, Maryland, where I did my initial sermon. He said to me, I need to see you because I got something for you. I said, oh, okay. And I went over to him. And when I went over to him, he had the check, amen, from the accident, the settlement, amen. When I came back and bought a car and bought a keyboard and bought some other stuff because now I had resource plus the $700-something from cashing in all of those coins. See, you have to understand, I told God that if you want me to do this, amen, then I need the resource to do it. And in obeying him, he opened up or revealed the resource when I needed it. I will tell you that if that insurance check had came before that time, I would have wasted it, still needing a way to get back. Amen. If he had told me to count the money that was in that jar, I would still came back needing to have finance to get back, because I would have used it on something else. Amen. But God knows how to reveal to you resource that is already stored up and there. And then he knows how to release at the right time, restore to justice, which is what that insurance check was. All right, y'all going to catch this, amen? So when God begins to speak to us, he tells us to do things that don't seem right in our eyes. Now, the reason why I'm using this as an example is when I got back to Ohio, amen, I met Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen, amen? At that moment when I went back, it was about August, September. I went back and started playing for Chris Bird, True Victory, amen, and different other ones. And that was in 92. In January 93, amen, I met, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Problem is that I already known her from before but didn't know her, amen. And what I mean by that is that she was 12 at the time, and I was 17. Some of y'all need to stop looking at me like that. Y'all robbed the cradle too. Amen. Some of y'all allowed yourself to be robbed in the cradle. Amen. Amen. So when I met her, I looked at her to see what it was that she was talking about, because while I was playing, we were coming out of a high worship, and the Lord said, "That's your wife," as I looked over and saw her. And I'm looking at her like this, and she's crying and rubbing her eyes, and she looks up and sees me and looks at me like that. And I'm like, okay. After church, what would happen is all the young people would run up to the organ and the drums, and Cledell King used to play with Israel. He was my drummer, and we all came up and everything. He's breaking lamps trying to figure out drum rolls and paradiddles, amen. When he started playing at the end of service, he started playing Perfecting Church, which is Marvin Wine and Bishop Marvin Wine's church. They had an album out at the time called, and they had a song called I Am a Son, I'm a Son. So he started playing, he went into the drum, and my drum roll, my job was to go ahead and play, and all the young people was up ready to sing Kayla Parker's part, and I clicked off the organ. I'll see y'all in a minute. I'll be back. And I ran around a corner and almost ran over Prophetess, and she was standing there looking, and I ran into her, and I was like, "Ooh, okay, well, all my cool points are gone." Any of you who have ever played Sonic know that when he hits an obstacle, all his gold rings just bounce around. Well, those were my cool points just bouncing around, because I ran right into her. Amen. That night, I convinced her to go out and sit down and just have a conversation, and we went to Denny's. She had a Superbird platter, amen, with a strawberry milkshake. Bring me the cup that you made the milkshake in so I can top it off. And I had a cup of coffee and an apology for the waitress. I should have known, because I only had $10 in my pocket. When she used up all 10, I should have known that this was a setup. But here we are 26 years later. I'm still waiting on the other shoe to drop. And I don't think it's coming, amen, because all the shoes she got right now, I happily have bought, amen, amen. So that being said, when God spoke to me to come back from Maryland, I didn't understand it. I thought something was wrong, because I was doing great things and building up what I thought was my destiny and future. And God interjects at that moment and sends me back to Ohio, where I find my destiny and future in the marriage of Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen. We went to Michigan and during that time, and Mother Stella Boyd birthed us out as sons and daughters, amen. A daughter of Zion, son of thunder, amen. We used to go sit at her house, at her table, and everybody wasn't invited to her house, and everybody just, you don't, you know, the good old saints, you didn't just drop by, amen. You had to be invited, amen, and they had to feel that the Spirit of God was in you enough to even open up the door. So when we were with Mother Stella Boyd, I played for her and for 3 years, and during that time, God put rockets on us, if you will. We came up spiritually into different levels and dimensions in who we are. From there to Bishop Iona Locke as her music director for three and a half years, sitting up on her. Mother Stella Boyd showed us holiness on a different level, amen. Shooting us up in the hankies and the towels and the oil, amen. If you ever have ability to come to Christ the King Redemptive Ministry and we pray for you, amen, you'll find that the oil that Mother taught us sitting at her table is the same oil that we have here in the sanctuary. When we open the bottle, you know that there's something different about the oil, amen, because it's supposed to be a fragrance unto the Lord. It reminds you of God's promise. It reminds you of his presence, and it brings you back from wherever you were to that moment of knowing who he is in your life. That's the reason for the fragrance. The fragrance is just like when you have someone special and they wear a certain scent around you. Whenever you smell that scent, you go back to who that individual is, amen. It takes you back to a moment. It takes you back to a pleasant memory, amen. And the same thing with the oil. When you smell the oil, it brings you back to holiness. It reminds you of who God is in your life. She taught us holiness at a different level. Bishop Iona Locke, amen, Bishop Iona Locke, Dr. Locke, taught us excellence in ministry. I still remember preaching a sermon in front of her, and it was then just Carolyn Showell. She was evangelist and everything. She wasn't bishop or pastor or anything else. But Carolyn Showell had came in, and on that night she sprung it on me in a morning meeting. I had worked midnights from 11 to 7. I get off and then in Ohio and then drive to Detroit, Michigan, and I'm tired, and I'm standing there red-eyed, barely there. And she says, tonight we got a special preacher who's going to preach for us. And she looked around the room and said, Apostle Christopher, you are going to speak tonight. I said, yes, ma'am. I knew I didn't have nothing, amen, but I'm going to try to put something together between services. At the end of service, I got home and put three scriptures down and fell out because I had to go back to work 11 to 7 the next night, amen, so that night. So I preached the sermon, and at the end of it, she took the sermon apart and said, I don't care if you're traveling around the world and they lost your luggage and you finally get to the church, and when you get there, you better have a word in your belly. Don't let your tiredness and what you have done ever allow you not to have the word together. And that was the lesson that was taught to me. Let me just sidebar right here. Some of you waiting on me to give you a scripture, but you need to hear what I'm saying. What it is that when God begins to place those in your life that are there for your instruction and for your molding, do not despise the day of small beginnings, first of all. Second of all, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The chastening doesn't just come from God. It comes through those who are sold out to God. And he tells them, these are the things I need you to do to correct their behavior because I have worked that has to be done through them. Amen. Y'all remember Ananias when he went to go lay hands on Saul. Amen. The first thing that he said, I know what kind of guy this is, and you want me to do that? He said, listen, I know what I have set aside for him and what things he must suffer for the gospel. Go and lay hands on him. And when Ananias did so, Saul received his sight back. What would have happened if the one who was there had decided that Saul wasn't worthy enough for their hands to be laid upon him? Okay, so you have to turn that around. What would happen if you don't feel that those that God has placed in your life to discipline you and get you into that order, what if you feel that they are not worthy to lay their hands on you? You stay blind. So I learned then to take correction, amen. Bishop R.V.L. Garrett, our spiritual father, I played for from the age of 9 years old or so up until that point, and he would tell us stuff that he needed us to do. And the way that I learned how to be effective as an apostle was watching Bishop R.V.L. Garrett. We didn't have apostles, so the only model I had for what an apostle was Bishop, amen. Since then, I understood that there are two different disciplines. They have two different functions in the body. But the thing that I had to learn was how to be who I needed to be based on God, those that God sent to mold me and make me. Bishop Locke taught me how to deal with ministry in excellence, amen. Then we get into the other lessons that I won't mention at this time. I will say this, that Bishop R.V.L. Garrett taught me how to love people regardless and to always remain integral to who I am. Amen. I've watched people do Bishop Garrett some kind of all different kind of ways. Amen. And always he could talk about how y'all did it, but he will always remain a Bishop R.V.L. Garrett. You're not going to shake him from the anointing that's on his life and cause him to act outside of that character. Amen. It taught me then when I'm dealing with other people that I don't have to always show myself out in order to prove my value and worth in the kingdom. Amen. So that is the reason why it's important to hear from God. God knows how to speak to you at a moment's time that will shift your destiny. And some of you right now listening to me are stuck in places where you have been for the longest. Because even though God sends you a word, you don't want to hear the word unless it comes with all the frills, with all the sparklies and all the rest of it. Well, God could just say it's time for you to move, and you need to go over there to that little church over there. I go over there to that little church. They ain't got no praise team. I'm used to getting my praise on. And God saying, you don't need no praise on. You ran around for no good apparent reason for long enough. I'm trying to give you purpose in your run. I mean, you can't do that while all eyes are on you, because they start the same music and you start the same shout. You don't know why they started the music, and we still don't know why you shouting. Amen? But when God sends you someplace, it doesn't always make sense to you in the moment that you are doing it. It makes sense after you look back over your life. Notice what I just told you right now goes back about 26, 27 years. Longer than that, if you go back to 89 when I started preaching, that's 30 years. See, you have to understand that some of us right now, even at this point, I've been preaching for 30 years. I have not yet come to the pinnacle of excellence that I know I can get to. There are people who look and say, when I get to that level, I'm like, listen, stop trying to get to a level and just learn how to get to the relationship. The relationship develops. I look at text now that I used to look at back then, and now I see different things than I saw when my maturity level was lower. I preach in a totally different way now, amen? Same text, same scripture, same everything, but I preach it totally different now than I did when I first came across it. Because the relationship sweet, huh? And my intellect increased. And it increased because I now have something to tie to it. I have experience where I cannot just tell you that God is a way maker. I can tell you how God made a way. Amen. I'm not just telling you that God is a healer. I can tell you how God has healed. I can't just tell you. I'm not going to just tell you how he's a miracle worker. I'm going to share with you the miracles that he has performed. I'm not talking about what I read. I'm talking about our lives. And it is in those moments and times that we come to know him greater. Amen. God cannot give you and release to you the full of what you need to have until he can trust you, because he has already allowed you to go through the process, and you have allowed yourself not to tell God how great and wonderful you are and stuff is beneath you. You have submitted yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the master craftsmen have molded and made you. Now he can trust you. Now you're ready for the scripture. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And authorities that exist are appointed by God. I heard this on Friday. But I want to share with you my testimony to this point, that if I had not submitted myself, amen, and made myself subject to the governing authorities that God placed in my life, I could not stand here as Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, Bishop of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Convergence. I would not be fit, because the authorities that God set in my life were ordained by him. And they were ordained by him so that as I subject myself and submit myself to that authority, God can then begin to release to me authorities that I will now be able to deal with others. There were times when I was told to come to church when I was tired and didn't feel like it. I just told you, Bishop Iona Locke, I was playing for her as a music director. That means I would get off in Ohio, amen, and drive an hour or so north, depending on traffic, to get to the house where my wife was. We lived in Oak Park, amen. And I moved them up there because it was easier for them to be in Detroit than in Ohio where I was policing, amen. So I moved them up and kept an apartment in Ohio so I could, on those days when my shift caused me to have to work over, I could have some place to lay my head down. Amen. So they were in Oak Park, 9 miles Scotia, out in the Jewish area outside of Detroit. Amen. Everybody knows that if you're going to live in Detroit, you want to live outside of 8 Mile. Amen. So there's the inside part of 8 Mile, which is what Eminem was talking about, and then it's the outside part, which is where all the affluent and other people live. We were on 9 Mile, amen, living in a townhouse. I still remember Rensselaer, amen, Village Green, amen. I still remember all of that, amen. But we lived there, and I would drive all the way from Ohio past the church on Southfield, amen, across from Northland Mall. I would drive all the way up to the apartment or to the townhouse, run in, jump in the shower, and change my clothes and grab something to eat, running out the door so I could make the morning meeting, amen, because if you didn't make the morning meeting, then you weren't serving in service that morning, amen, and it was a discipline thing. So when I got there, I would be tired because I had just gotten off at 7, and then I have to drive back an hour and try to transition out of the uniform and everything else and get freshened up from the night and get to the meeting before Sunday school, amen. They call it Methodist Academy, before Sunday school, because if you didn't make the meeting before Sunday school, you couldn't serve at the 11 o'clock. And those of us who were employed there for that, we didn't get paid for not being there. You couldn't come in late, amen. She would start singing, "Jesus, I never forget what you've done for me." And the door would start closing while she's singing the whole thing. When she gets to the end, "No, never," click. If that door shut, and you had not been in there, then you did not serve that day. So people tell me that I'm tired because I've been working. And I can tell you that I've already sowed the seeds of you still showing up when you're tired, because I showed up when I was tired. Amen. We serve because it was discipline. You can't operate in spiritual authority at a certain level when you allow your body to dictate to you how you're going to address God when he puts a demand on you. So you need to get your flesh together and subject it under the mighty hand of God and the governing authorities that he's placed over your life. They're not telling you to show up because they just want to see you. They realize that you got processing that you got to go through. And if you miss too many classes at your university or higher education, they flunk you. Why do they flunk you after so many times? Because you missed too much class to really understand the concept of the course. So what happens when you're ready for God to release you into the next level, but you miss so much church, you miss so much prayer, you miss so much fasting and so much time in his presence that you are not qualified now for God to release to you what should have been released a long time ago? And to that end, let me just say this right here because I feel it in my spirit. Don't blame God for not releasing what you won't dedicate yourself or discipline yourself to be able to carry and obtain. God knows how to release to you at the right moment what belongs to you. And outside of that, you are not fit for service. We serve a sovereign God. That means that he don't have to use you because you think you're wonderful. He uses you because you fit the plan, that same plan that was established before the foundations of the world. That same plan is what he uses today. You weren't born too early. You weren't born too late. You were born right on time to enter the scene to fulfill the role that he wrote you into. You're not a oops. You're a fulfillment of a strategy. Understand that God didn't have to do it like that, but he did. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. Yeah? For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. The reason why we have trouble submitting ourselves is because we don't want anybody to tell us what stinks, stinks. So we don't want anybody to tell us that what's foul is foul. Want anybody to tell us that we shouldn't be in that relationship with that person, that we keep coming back to church. Listen, if you stand up in the altar and you say, Lord, I want you to touch me. I need you to work on a problem. And the problem is that you shacking with somebody and they keep misusing you. God ain't answering that prayer right there. I know you mad because I just said that, because you think bae and boo is all that. Amen. Which is why you stay there and go through the abuses and the misuses and all the other things that come along with it. You waiting on God to just change him so you can have your piece of cake and eat it too. Amen. So then God says, I'm not going to do that because that's not the type of God I am. And I'm not going to change my character for your appetite. I'm going to challenge you to change your appetite so that you can carry and demonstrate my character. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? And this is interesting, because at the very beginning of this, the first thing we start talking about is let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And I told you on Friday that you are a governing authority. It is the words out of your mouth that bring forth life and death. Amen. So what happens is when you have authority, because on the inside of you is the Holy Spirit, this is his temple, amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. You have to understand that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen. He dwells on the inside of you. John 14 and 10 lets us know, or 14 and 20 lets us know that Jesus is on the inside of us, and the Father is with them, and they make their abode on the inside of us. So if that's the case, and the Holy Spirit, this is his temple, you have the creative God on the inside of you dwelling, amen. So when you begin to speak out of your mouth, creation is listening to the Creator through you, which is why death and life are in the power of the tongue, because the way to know what's on the inside is what comes out of it. And you begin to speak words that bring forth death and toxic environments, and then you're not doing the will of God and the work of God. You're acting as the adversary. You're claiming to be a child of God, but you're doing the work of the devil. We can't be confused in this season. God is not schizophrenic, and he doesn't have schizophrenic children. Amen? You better understand that what God is calling you to now is discipline, because the authority that he's releasing in the earth now is not to those who have no discipline, but to those who allow themselves to be disciplined by governing authorities. The reason why you have to be disciplined by governing authorities is because the matter is always going to be bigger than your eyesight. What you can see and what you base your actions on, it does not even encompass how it affects other things that you have no knowledge of. So you have to be careful how you do certain things, amen. Every ambassador understands that they may suffer a word or two from somebody who doesn't like America, but they can't respond to it at a personal level, because you don't just carry your personal opinion. Every word that comes out of your mouth, it reflects and influences how they deal with America. And because you are an ambassador of America, when you say something a certain way, they take it not that you have a problem, but that America has a problem. Now let's bring it back to kingdom, because there are times when the devil would try to get you to speak out of your mouth your opinion, knowing that it has nothing to do with your opinion. It has everything to do with your kingdom influence. So you have to be careful that you're not speaking what God didn't say and doing what God didn't do for a reason that God wouldn't even deserve. Yeah, you're going to feel some kind of way because that's the nature of this. But you will learn as a child of God how to submit yourself to governing authority, so that you can be the governing authority he called you to. He's given you his name. In my name you shall. That right there is a command, but it's also a responsibility. You need to learn how to do it. People are upset when rulers come around. I was showing a prophetess. She said something to me, talking about these birds. And I said, they begin to talk about the fact that those birds, what is called is mobbing. I'll pick it up on Tuesday. Amen. It's mobbing. What mobbing does is the smaller birds begin to fly at one that they consider a threat and a predator. Now, the bird is a threat and a predator, but the bird ain't paying no attention to those little birds. But those little birds know the potential of that big bird. They even mimic each other's calls so that they can garner support for what they're trying to do and mobbing the big bird. Oh, y'all gonna kiss this. Watch people talking about you and coming against you. Not that you came with to them with your governing authority self, but because they recognize you as that governing authority. And they're already trying to get you off your game. Do not assist the enemy in your demise with your lack of discipline and development. Submit yourself unto God and to those that God placed in your life. When it's time for you to be at church, don't make the excuse. Don't give yourself the permission. Don't think that it's on that level that it should suffice. Discipline yourself. Find yourself where you're supposed to be so that God can deal with you. And let me just clarify this right here. No, you can't go someplace else and get what God has designed for you somewhere else. I don't care how much you try to get meat out of JCPenney, they don't sell meat. Amen. Okay? But we have this Walmart mentality where I can get meat and dress and everything else I want. And God didn't send you there. God didn't send you there because God specialized who you are. You have to go back to the manufacturer to get what you need. Amen? And He is the one who made us and created us. He knows exactly what it is we need. Amen? I'm not done. I'm just going to quit. Come on, prophetess, take us home.
And the word of the Lord is blessed. And we say yay and amen. Family, we pray this morning that the word that was spoken challenged you. It caused you to do some introspection. Thank you. It caused you to really look at your life and where you are spiritually. Look at your life and where you are naturally. I see, amen, that we're so focused on where we're going naturally that we must be careful that we don't neglect where we're going spiritually. Amen? Because honestly, where your spirit is going is more important than the natural. Where, when you get the spirit right, the natural will already follow. Amen? Because it will become subject to you. So we need to just make sure that as we're moving forward, that we're not so focused on being the great, but that we focus on the greater one that's inside of us. And as we do that, He will make us great in His time and in His season. We bless the Lord on this morning for all that our God has done and continue to do. Family, we just want to pray that His blessings will be upon you, that His word, amen, will begin to work in you, that you will begin to grow and expand on every side, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, inwardly, amen, your family, everything that's connected to you, that's God-ordained, will begin to move forward. We ask that He would just begin to breathe upon you, amen, and do what God does best, that He would be glorified. So, Father, we thank You right now for the word that has gone forth. We ask even, Father, that the our leader who has poured out, that You would pour back into him, restore, replenish, flow in his life what has been given out. Even, Father, your people, that we would flush out the old and allow the new to come. Shift our minds, shift our hearts. Give us the strength, the energy, Father, to pursue that which You have called us to do, that we do not get distracted and hung up on what is around us and where we're not, but we will begin to strive for the things that You have ordained for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, as we begin to move forward, we ask that You would breathe upon Your people and that Your name will be glorified throughout the earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Once again, family, once again, thank you again from my heart to yours, Chief Apostle of the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family. We want you to know that we love you. Don't forget, Tuesday night is our Bible study night, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Thursday is prayer. Friday is Jam Jesus in Me Ministry. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We are right back here live. All roads, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. We love you. Have a great Sunday. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those of you, it's time for the giving. Amen. It's time for the offering, the tithes and the offering that are here.